Without the ranging laser, the big coil is useless. And the saboteur is aboard this plane riding with us. He doesn't want to kill himself, whoever he is.
You keep saying he.
You have a woman on your crew. She's Chinese or something, isn't she? Taki Nakamura, Harry replied. Born in Phoenix, Arizona. Her family's been in the States since the 1920s. She's as American as you or me. Christopher digested that information in silence. Then, you're going to have to keep your eyes wide open, mister.
I know. But we have another problem.
Another?
We can fix the ranging laser, but we won't know if it's calibrated properly unless we can try it out on a real target.
Explain.
It's a low-power laser. We use it like radar to get a pinpoint fix on the target's distance and velocity. We need a live target to test it on.
Colonel Christopher almost smiled.
That's easy. We're due for another refueling rendezvous in, she glanced at her wristwatch, another 73 minutes. You can ping the tanker.
Yeah, Harry said. That'll work.
You'll have the laser working by then?
We will, Harry said, adding silently, or I'll jump overboard.
Japan, Misawa Air Force Base.
But you're supposed to be the intelligence officer. That doesn't mean they tell me diddly squat, sir.
Major Hank Wilson held a flimsy sheet of decoded message from Andrews Air Force Base back in the States in one big hairy fist. He glared down at Captain William Koenig, long, lanky, and lean as a beanpole. Koenig glared right back at his commanding officer. Brandishing the flimsy, Major Wilson grumbled, "That tanker's due in 15 minutes, and we don't know why it's here."
"It's out of Changju, I know that much.
But why is it landing here? Where's it heading? We don't have anything up there that needs an air-to-air refueling."
"Washington moveth in mysterious ways," Koenig murmured.
College boy, Wilson thought. Give them a degree and they think they know everything. But when you need information from them, they can't produce anything but crap.
Seeing the anger growing on a superior's face, Koenig said, "We know the tanker's out of Changju. We know it's on special orders from Andrews, relayed out of the Pentagon."
"We knew that 2 hours ago," Wilson growled.
"Everything slowed to a crawl," the captain said. "Our commsats are overloaded with traffic. Messages are coming through late."
"But the message from that mother-loving tanker came through loud and clear, didn't it?"
"Yes, sir. It came directly from the tanker itself, not relayed by a satellite."
"So they have engine trouble?"
Koenig nodded. "It's an old bird, a KC-135. Been in service for 30-some years. I looked up the tail number."
"So it needs to land here and get its engine fixed."
"Or replaced."
"So it's going to be late for its rendezvous with whatever it's supposed to be refueling."
Koenig spread his hands in a gesture of helplessness. "Nothing we can do about that."
"But there's a plane out there someplace expecting to rendezvous with that mother-humping tanker, and the fucker isn't going to be there."
"That's the way it looks, sir."
"We have to tell that plane that its rendezvous is going to be late."
"Yes, sir, we certainly do."
"But we don't know what plane we're talking about. We don't know where the bastard is. How can we communicate with it when we don't know anything about it?"
"I've sent an urgent message back to Andrews, sir. It's in their lap."
Major Wilson's heavy jowled face looked like a thundercloud. "By the time Washington gets your message and acts on it, that mystery bird could be in the drink."
Captain Koenig said nothing.
"So why don't you find